speak your truth. My voice will rise to worship you, O Lord my God.
The Lord tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Welcome to the Word in Motion with Pastor Chuck Kanes from Calvary Chapel of St. Clair County. Now let's get into our study with Pastor Chuck.
1 Corinthians chapter 12. And remember in this letter of Corinthians that the Lord's been asking, the church at Corinth, they've been asking questions of Paul, and the Lord is going to answer the questions they've had. So we take from this that they probably asked a question about spiritual gifts. And from what Paul answers in the next few chapters, we see that they must have had a pretty bad balance of gifts in their church. Not meaning that they didn't have gifts, they had them, but they were way out of balance in how they were using them and how they were looking at them. So in the next few chapters, Paul's going to do some correction on that issue. And it starts out in chapter 12, verse 1, and says, "Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." And the first thing we want to just make sure we're on the same page on, when he says the spiritual gifts here, what is he talking about when he uses that phrase, spiritual gifts? These are gifts given by the Holy Spirit to the believers to be used as we serve the Lord. Kind of a general idea of what we're talking about with a spiritual gift. It's something that God has given to each of us, and we're going to see that in the passage further. Anybody who has come to Christ and has received him, the Holy Spirit has come inside of us, and he has gifted us to do something to serve him. And our gifts are going to be different, we'll see, as we get into our study and get a little glimpse of what the gifts are today. But if you're in Christ today, God has given you a spiritual gift to do something to serve him and to serve the body of Christ. And we'll look at that closer, okay? Now, it says here in verse 1, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. And you know, there's a lot of ignorance in the church today still when it comes to spiritual gifts. Some churches choose to totally ignore the gifts and don't want to talk about them. So they're ignorant on the side of not wanting to study much about them because they don't know what they are, don't want to have anything that would be too wild for them or something on the edge. So they're on the extreme of not wanting to know, and they completely ignore some of the gifts, okay? Then there's the other extreme who takes a few of the gifts and runs wild with them, okay? So we're going to see the balance from Scripture, and I think what we see in the church in Corinth is some of what we see in the church today too. There's an out of balance use of the gifts, okay? So Paul's going to try to grab all these things that are running around and bring them together and say, now this is what it's supposed to be like in God's eyes, okay? So he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, and the Lord doesn't want us to be ignorant of these things either. So in verse 2, he says, you know that when you were pagans, talking about before they came to know Christ, and they were in this culture where they were worshiping the idols and anything else going on, says, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. And your translation might say dumb idols. The picture there is that you serve this idol, which was a piece of wood, a piece of stone, whatever, but it couldn't talk. So he kind of says this, I think, a little tongue-in-cheek. He said, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by these things that can't talk, you know? And it's kind of the silly view of trying to worship a piece of wood or a block of stone or something like that. So he said, they were kind of leading your life before. And where he's going with this is now you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit talks. Okay, so he's saying it makes a lot more sense to want to follow God who talks than some false idol, piece of wood or something that doesn't. Okay, so he goes on in verse 3, therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So he's given us some general rules here for discernment. Okay, and one of the basic things you have to know with this, he says, it's about Jesus, okay? When it comes to spiritual gifts, the first thing we have to know is the spiritual gifts point to Jesus. And if they don't, then there's a problem, okay? So he gives us that as the first general rule for spiritual gifts. Are they pointing to Jesus or to some other direction? Okay, so he says here, nobody's going to say Jesus is cursed if they're speaking by the Spirit of God. And no one's going to say Jesus is Lord unless it's the Holy Spirit working through them. And let's think about this. Let's chew on this a second. When it says nobody's going to say Jesus be cursed, the idea is bringing Jesus down from who he is. Okay? Jesus is Lord, which is where he's going. Okay? So Jesus is Lord, and anybody who brings him lower than that, he said, you better be very, very careful in what they have to say. Now, there's a caution for us today, too, because there are people who are in church and have their programs on TV, and they talk about Jesus, but you better be very careful listening how they refer to him. Because I've heard some of those guys say, yeah, Jesus, he's just my good old buddy, you know, he's just my old buddy, and we do this, you know. And when you listen to the way they talk, it's almost like they have brought Jesus down a little bit lower. It's kind of like, I do what I want, and Jesus is cool with that, you know, because he's my buddy, you know, kind of thing. And they've lowered Jesus. Jesus is our friend, right? The scriptures tell us, I call you my friend, but he is still the Lord. Okay? We can't get away from that. He doesn't stop being Lord to say, I'm just going to be your good old buddy. You can do whatever you want to do. No, Jesus is still the Lord. So you can't take him down. And that's what he says. If somebody says, Jesus be cursed, and they may not make it that blunt, but if they bring Jesus to a lower level, you better watch, because their theology is messed up somewhere at best. They don't know what they're talking about. Then he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit working there. And when they say Jesus is Lord and they treat him as Lord, they have lifted him to the place where he really belongs. Okay? So when you hear them talk about Jesus and there's a reverence there, there's a love there, you know, there's that kind of atmosphere, then you're safer to listen to what they have to say. Now, I put a caution on that, too, because I know there are some groups out there who will put a banner up that says Jesus is Lord, you know, but you better listen to what they're saying, because just that banner there doesn't mean they treat Jesus that way. So we got to be careful. In the church back here, they had to be careful. And today, in our time period, we still have to be careful, because there's a lot of junk out there that's not right, all right? And that's why we study the scripture, to make sure we stay accurate with what God tells us. So the first rule is, the general rule for discernment, is Jesus getting all the glory. And I mean all the glory, okay? There's a temptation when you have a lot of people following that you might want to take some glory from that. But you better be careful, because the Lord shows us here it's Jesus who needs to get all the glory, especially when it comes to spiritual gifts, okay? Let's go on to verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And we're going to look at some of the different kinds here in the passage. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And when it talks about service, I get the idea of, it's a reminder to us, for one, you might have the word ministries there, but it's the idea of these gifts are given for us to serve. They're not given for us to flaunt ourselves or to say we're better because we have a gift, but it's given to us that we might serve the body of Christ, we might serve other people. That's what we're supposed to use them for. Now, I think of it this way when I think about this, because it helps me keep in perspective where we are in Christ, okay? If you think about somebody who has maybe a big mansion like a castle, and they have a lot of servants that work for them at this castle. Some of the servants, you know, they might be doing the cooking. Some might be doing the cleaning. You might have some who are like butlers, you know, and take care of the guests who come in and different things. And that's kind of the picture of us with spiritual gifts. We are just the servants. We have different jobs to do for our master, but the gifts are given to us that we might serve. So try to keep that mindset as we look at the gifts, because there is a danger. The danger was back here, and it's still here today, that some gifts that we might have, we might flaunt and think we're more spiritual because we have these gifts, okay? And the Lord says, you can't do that. You're still my servant, and I only gave it to you to serve, you know? Doesn't mean the butler's better than the cook, you know, or the house cleaner is better than the butler. It doesn't have anything to do with situations like that. They're all considered servants in the eyes of the master. Okay, everybody with me on this? Because there can be a problem if we forget what we're doing with the gifts, where to serve. It says in verse 6, there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And that term working, you might have a different term there, but it's talking about power. So it's saying there's a different kind of power in these gifts, but it's the same God who's doing the work is the idea. So we don't think that we've got this power kind of thing, you know? So the Lord shows us some things here, and he's laying this out very carefully. So we're going to be careful as we go through this too, so we don't get off track or out of balance here. He notice he says there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Okay, that word same is there. There are different kinds of working, but it's the same God. He said that there were different kinds of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. So he kind of alludes to the Godhead here, but he's letting us know that it's the same God. We're on the same team. Okay, so where we know this, that we have spiritual gifts. Yours might be different than mine and how God's using me and how he wants to use you, but we're on the same team. So there's no competition, okay? It's not like, well, I got mine from the Holy Spirit, you know, so I can do this or something, and you've got yours from, you know, Jesus maybe, and we're going to argue over stuff like that. No, we have the same source for these gifts, so we're on the same page, and there should be unity because of the gifts. And that's one of the things that's on the heart of the Lord. We need to have unity and not division, okay, when it comes to spiritual gifts. Now, I see this as very interesting because if you're up to speed on what's going on in a lot of churches today, we don't have unity over the gifts. We have division over the gifts. The Lord never intended that. The Lord is not pleased over that. So we're going to deal with that as we get further into chapter 14, because apparently the same gift they had a problem with back then is one of the same gifts we have problems with today. Okay, so we'll deal with that a little bit further when we get there. But I want you to keep in mind, too, the Lord is really focusing on unity. That's why he keeps saying it's the same Holy Spirit, it's the same Lord, it's the same God. So we have no reason to have division over this. We're all to be on the same page. Okay? I just want to mention something, too, when it talks about that power that's at work through the gifts. When we have a spiritual gift that God has put in us and he's working through us as we submit to him and we serve him, the things that happen from that gift, that's the power of God at work, okay? It's nothing we can take credit for, you know? Folks have told me, they said that I've been gifted in teaching, and I hope for your sake I have been, you know, so the Lord can use that to help you. But if that's the case, when I teach, it's nothing that I'm doing, really. It's the Lord working through me if you get anything from it. It's not me, okay? My responsibility is to do my study and to open my mouth, okay, and let the Lord use that. But when things happen, when you say, wow, I really understand this now, I didn't get it before, that was the Holy Spirit doing that. That was his power working through his gift, and that's how you got it, okay? And that's the way gifts are intended. See, so whenever God has placed the gift in us, remember it's his gift, he's doing the work, he gets the glory, and things happen. Not because of who we are, but it's because of what God's doing through us. And that's the reminder, okay? Now, I say that as a caution for myself, too. See, because there are times where people might come up and say, I might get 10 people sometime would say something like that. I haven't had 10 people yet, by the way, line up and tell me that. But just in case there weren't that day come where somebody said, man, that helped today a bunch, you know, I don't get a big head. And the reminder to me is that that was God who did something. You got out of the way enough today where people actually got it, you know, kind of a thing. So remember that when it comes to the gifts. And you notice I'm trying to be careful with this because people go wild on this, and I've got an idea, I think, of why we have problems when it comes to gifts, and I'll probably deal with it a little bit more when we get to chapter 14. But let me just kind of say as a caution here up front, I think why we have division over this is really because of the enemy. I think the devil knows there's power when there's unity in the body of Christ. So he wants to keep us divided. He wants to keep us at odds with each other. And if he can use something like a spiritual gift, that's almost like a badge for him. Like, man, I use God's stuff to get people mad at each other, you know. And to him, he's got a feather in his hat over that one. So we'll deal with that a little more as we get into chapter 14. But I think the enemy is behind us, and that's why I want us to be careful. If we submit to the Lord, stick with what God tells us, we have no problem. Okay? Kind of like the song we sang this morning. If we do things God's way, no problems. We just follow him, and he takes care of the balance. Okay? All right, let's look at verse 7 then. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It says to each one. That means today, if you are in Christ, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you received his sacrifice on the cross for you, that the Holy Spirit has given you a gift. If you're in Christ, you have at least one gift that the Holy Spirit has given you. And he calls it here the manifestation of the Spirit. Get this. This, I think, is really cool. When we use the gift God has given us and something happens, it's the power of God working through us, that's evidence that the Holy Spirit was there and he was working. And I think that's awesome. Okay? So if the Lord's working through me teaching, and you get something, and it even comes back to me, it doesn't have to come back to me, but if you would say something to me and say, wow, the Lord really spoke to me today, that's awesome to me, because that means the Holy Spirit did that. The Holy Spirit was here, and He's working. And He is here. I mean, you don't may not see a glow or anything, but the Holy Spirit is working today. You know, He's working in me, and He's working in you. But to me, it's so awesome that that is really a manifestation of the Holy Spirit when the gifts are working properly. Okay? And what's the reason for them? It says at the end of verse 7. It's for the common good. Now, there's two things I think implied by this. One is, it's for unity. It's for everybody. Okay? When the gifts are working, they're ministering to other people. It's not for you selfishly. And that's the other side of that. That we wouldn't be selfish with our gift or use it to flaunt ourselves. So he says the gifts are given. It's a manifestation of the Spirit and for the common good. It's good for everybody. Okay? Let's go on to verse 8. To one there is given, through the Spirit, the message of wisdom. Now, he's going to list some of the gifts here. There's other gifts mentioned in different places, and some people believe that there are probably more gifts than we have even listed in the Bible for us, and I think that's a real possibility. I think there are times God works through us in ways that you may not even find them listed in the New Testament here, but it's just a gifting that God works through us to minister to other people. Now, we have to surrender to the Lord and allow Him to work through us for these things to happen. But we're going to look at some of these in detail because we have a picture of some of these for us in the Scripture to see what they're like. So what is the gift of wisdom, or the word of wisdom you might have in your translation, or the message of wisdom I've got in my translation here? Wisdom means knowledge applied. Okay, and that's the Hebrew understanding of the word wisdom. So it's not just having something in your head, but it's actually able to do something with it. Now, this wisdom is talking about a supernatural ability God has given you to know something and actually use it for a purpose. And we'll see how this is used a little bit. In Acts chapter 6, if you want to turn over there, we see a picture of how this word of wisdom is used. You remember in the story here, in Acts chapter 6, there was a situation going on, and it's described to us in verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So they got a problem, they got a situation. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together, and they said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over them and will give our attention to prayer in the ministry of the Word." Then it goes on to say, "This proposal pleased the whole group." Now, what happened there? They had a problem. They had a situation arising that could have caused some real division in the church. And what happened? They got a word of wisdom from the Lord where they're able to say, well, here's the solution. And it was a perfect solution, you notice. I mean, even the people had the, it says, the proposal pleased the whole group. So what happened? This word of wisdom came from God, and it was, here's the problem, here's the solution to the problem. And I imagine they had people that probably said, yeah, why didn't I think of that, you know, kind of a thing. And I think that happens a lot when you have a word of wisdom from the Lord. When you hear it, it's like, well, yeah, that makes sense. Why didn't I think of that? You know, it's like, well, that's the perfect solution. Well, I can tell you, I know we have some folks around us in our group right here that I believe have this gift of the word of wisdom from the Lord. And I know if I should mention names or not, put a finger on them, but I can tell you I know some people who have this, I believe, because when there's a situation or problem or something, I can run something past them, and it's like, boom, they have an answer. And I thought, why didn't I think of that? You know, I mean, it's so points right on the, puts the finger right on it, you know? Excuse me. So if you're around people like that where you've put things past them and, boy, they just come up with an answer, you know, just boom, right there, they probably have that word of wisdom from the Lord. And I would say listen to people like that. Don't be ashamed to think, well, I'm not going to ask them because I should know, you know, because it's humbling, I know, but I have to do this too. And I won't point out somebody in particular I know who has this, I believe. I think my wife Lisa has this because there are times where there's a situation we're trying to think through or something, or I personally am trying to figure this out, you know, and I've tried to cover everything I can think of, and I'll run it past her, and boy, she'll pop something out, and I'm thinking, why did I think of that? You know? But it's happened enough times that I don't, let me tell you, when you're around people like this, it makes you feel kind of ignorant, okay? Because they keep coming up with these good, solid answers. It's like, how did I not see that, you know? But I really believe it's because the Lord has given them that gift. And thankfully, you know, as a husband and wife, we're a team, so I can take that. Yeah, she's on my team kind of thing, you know? But I'm thankful to have someone on my side like that. But it's humbling, but there, you know, I do run things past her for that reason. And that's why I think I mentioned last week, I heard this one pastor who said, you don't listen to your wife, you don't take things to her, you just do what you think God's leading you to do. And there are times, I mean, we're a team, we're on the same team, right? So I'd be a fool not to listen to the other team members, all right? So I appreciate what the Lord has done there. And maybe you know somebody like that. If there's somebody that comes to mind that is like that, where you just run things past them and they have the answer, and it's like the perfect answer is like, wow, you know, that's probably the wisdom of the Lord doing that. We had a guy one time on a church board where I was at, and I was amazed to watch this process because the guy was pretty quiet. But, you know, on this board, we had quite a few guys, and we were wrestling with issues all the time. And usually what would happen, the normal thing was, everybody put their 2 cents worth in, and they try to figure out which way to go. And at the very end, you know, after the discussion, then this guy would say something. And it was the perfect answer. I mean, it was the solution. And it's like when he spoke, it's like, wow, why didn't we think of that sooner, kind of a thing. And I got to the point of thinking, why don't he just give his answer first? You know, why should we waste our time running around? We'll just listen to what he has to tell us here if he's got a word, you know, because it was right on the money. So I'd encourage you. If you have people like this, like I said, it might make you feel a little dumb because they always seem to have the answer for the situation. But humble yourself and ask them because, man, the Lord's given us these gifts to use, okay? They're to serve the body of Christ, okay? All right, so let's go on. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he lists another gift for us. He says in verse 8, to one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge. Now this one, or the word of knowledge you may have in your translation, this one is God revealing unknown information to us, okay, supernaturally. Now we got a picture of this one too, if you want to look back to Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, we've got another situation going on in the church. And in verse 1, it says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but he brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, picture this in your mind. This is the story. The guy sold the property, and here's the amount he got for it. Him and his wife decided to keep some money back. But they were going to go to the church and make it look like we're giving the whole thing to the Lord. You know, kind of a pat on the back here and get a little promotion deal or something. I guess they were hoping for it. But look at verse 3. Now, they had just laid the money at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. And then when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And it goes on and talks about great fear seizing everybody. You saw what happened. His wife comes in. Peter asks the same question. Did you sell it for this price? And she said, yes. And then he said, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door. They will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. And then it goes on to talk about great fear seized the whole church and everybody who heard about these events. Now, here again is a situation where I think the Lord revealed this to Peter, because from the story, all we see is the guy comes in, he lays the money to the church, and Peter hits him right away with, how could you do such a wicked thing? And he describes the whole thing to him. So here, I think, is a place where God revealed some knowledge to Peter that he was able to deal with a sin issue in the church going on just like that. Okay? Now, I know this is kind of a scary picture because we see the way it happened, there were a couple of deaths involved over this one, but it was a supernatural knowledge that Peter apparently got straight from the Lord. Now, this is interesting to me because I've heard about this gift working when somebody was counseling someone. There was a pastor who said he was counseling some people, and all of a sudden he had a thought pop into his head, and he kind of ran it across the people, and sure enough, that was the issue going on in their life. And where did he get that from? It was nothing from what they said or anything. It was just because they were kind of beating around the bush. And all of a sudden, when he had that thought, he checked it out to see, is this from the Lord? And sure enough, it was exactly what was going on in that situation. So the Lord can use this gift at different times as needed to serve people, to minister to them. Now, in that situation where that pastor was counseling, that gift could have been used to help that person repent. Okay? I don't know. I don't remember the end of the story. I don't know if they did. But the Lord certainly gave them opportunity to repent at that point. There was another time I've seen this happen myself in teaching sometimes. As you're presenting the Word of God, the Lord might be using things you're saying that really point to something going on in someone's life, and you may not be aware of it. This has happened a number of times, and I've talked to different pastors who said this. They said, we had somebody come visit today, and sure enough, when they came, one of the illustrations that was used from the pulpit was just talking about that person, you know, and it wasn't really talking about them, but God knew who they were, and he was really pointing the finger at them that day. And that has happened. One pastor, a friend of mine, he said, you know, we had a couple come visit, and he said, we had a lot of folks in church that day. It was really packed. So I didn't know there were visitors, you know, that came in the back there. And when he used an illustration, it described their marriage situation to the T.
Thanks for joining us today at The Word in Motion. If you would like to hear more studies from Pastor Chuck or get information about our ministry, you can go online to thewordinmotion.org. Or if you'd like to drop us a line, you can write us at The Word in Motion, 1827 Robb Avenue, Belleville, Illinois, 62226. Don't forget to be doers of the Word and not hearers only.
When I talk, I speak your truth, my voice will rise.